Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of the early line is live right here on Sports Grid. I am Kevin Walsh. I'm joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside as we take a look at the college basketball results that poured in over the weekend. UNC and Duke, obviously, was a major event. The last time that Coach K will coach versus UNC, unless they do meet in the ACC tournament or the NCAA tournament, but certainly the last home game for Coach K, it was a big deal. But I have to tell people that as UNC was on their way to pulling off a major upset, not just from the historic standpoint of this rivalry, but for very much so clinching their spot inside an NCAA tournament as well, I couldn't help but think about Donnie going, "I told you so." Because again, if you listened to myself and Donnie on Moneyline, the radio show that we do from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern on Sports Grid Radio, when Donnie found out that they would be honoring Coach K before the game, which, by the way, very normal. He's insane for thinking that they would do it after the game. Donnie said, "Fade Duke into the sun. They will not cover, and you're going to need some UNC money line." And well, Donnie, Duke did not cover, and you would have been wise to have some UNC money line here. I guess they should have saved the celebration.
They should have saved the celebration, and they did the celebration after the game, as they should have. But the moment I heard that, you know, Coach K is going to come out between all his former players, take a couple pictures, let the emotion get in. We're talking about the Big Short, right? That was my vision on Friday. Like, I'm short in this game right here. UNC, I don't think they would actually win the game, but taking the double digits certainly made sense to me. And UNC was fantastic in this game, but I love the pageantry and the atmosphere, and something that, Kevin, we're probably not going to see again. Sure, we're going to see UNC Duke as, you know, tangled rivals over the next 25 to 30 years. Of course, I understand that. But the fact of the matter is Coach K began his coaching career at Duke in 1980, over 40-plus years at one school. And over the time, this won't happen again. And it's not because one coach isn't going to stay at a school for 40 years, which probably isn't going to be the case. But the fact of the matter is how Duke actually started off in the career of Mike Krzyzewski. If this were today and he were at Duke and got hired in 2020, and had the seasons that he began back in the early 1980s, he wouldn't be around at Duke anymore. "Oh, this guy stinks. Get him out of here. We gave him his 2 or 3 years. He's not good enough to actually, you know, get things done." But the fact of the matter is back in the day where teams and coaching staffs and universities would stick with their guys for multiple years, it worked out extremely well. And I loved it. Cameron Indoor Stadium, one of the coolest venues that you're ever going to see. All his players coming back. Awesome sights here. And even watching during the game. Because forget about if you're a UNC fan or a Duke fan altogether. When Duke was heating up in the first half, that place was electric, and I'm all about atmospheres. Win or lose, or teams I hate or can't stand, it's fun to see an atmosphere that was that charged up, that superstar-driven in one of the bigger moments here. And UNC was phenomenal in that game. Take a look at their starting lineup, Kevin. 23 points, 20, 21, 22, and 6. Even their bench, they only scored 2 bench points in 94 points on the road against a team that bounced them by 20 points earlier in the season. It's what's great about college basketball. And even in those moments, Kevin, and I sort of joked around saying, "I'm going to fade the Duke Blue Devils in this moment." It wasn't because that, you know, the big environment there. It just that North Carolina's a good basketball team getting over double-digit points. Anything can happen in March. It really can.
The thing for this game, and you never want to overreact to one game, this loss very likely will cost Duke the chance at a number one seed. But here's where this game put a little bit of worry into me around Duke. This is not the first time that this Blue Devils group here played a big game. They opened in Madison Square Garden versus Kentucky. They played in Las Vegas versus Gonzaga. As the radio audience enters the fold, appreciate all those tuned in to the early line on Sports Grid Radio talking about Duke-UNC. The reason that this result worries me a little bit, Donnie, is this game had finality. And those are the kind of things that can weigh on a team. And what I mean by that is you're in the building, you're on that floor, and you realize that you're playing Coach K's last home game. That can make things a little bit tougher on a team. And now you go to the NCAA tournament, you find yourselves down by 3, 8 minutes left, and you go, oh my goodness, this is Coach K's last game ever. The broadcast will be saying it, the building will be feeling it, and so will those players. And by the way, that is not Coach K's fault, because Coach K has been around for a very long time and deserved this retirement tour and run here. And ultimately, it's what it needed to be. But it doesn't stop the fact, Donnie, that this kind of a spot here has made me a little bit less likely to have any piece of this Duke Blue Devils team to win a national championship.
I hear you like that, but I'm still a buyer on Duke there. I think they could do some damage, but also the thing I took out of this game the most was, you know, Coach K was probably going, I mean, look, these guys are egomaniacs when you get to that type of level, and rightfully so with all the success they have. I want to see what he actually said to his team after that game before they came out for the ceremony. Like, how dare you embarrass me on my last game on this home court? Because those players weren't coming out like all chippy and excited to be at that. It looked like they just got thrashed in the locker room. Like, man, I can't wait to get out of here because Coach is going to kill us again once we get back to the locker room. Impressive stuff here, but long, long history career. And they did win the ACC regular season, so we'll see what they can do in the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say, you want to talk about embarrassing, though. Handshake Klein, Duke assistant, showing up Hubert Davis, leaving him hanging, won't look at him in the face.
Love it.
I mean, I'm just saying, Donnie, I think it's a little bit more classy to stare at someone as you smack him in the head instead to no-show him and don't give him a handshake there. I don't know. It's interesting times.
Good old crap, man. Got hit in the head.
Yeah, man. Look, we'll hit Michigan, Memphis, WCC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back right here with you on the early line. Taking a look here at the college basketball results over the weekend before we hit some action coming up tonight. And I want to pair these together, Donnie. Memphis beats Houston 75-61, and the game really wasn't even as competitive as that final score might indicate there. And Michigan with a huge victory at Ohio State, 75-69. I was very eager, and I think you maybe were as well, to send out a tweet along the lines that Memphis is going to beat Houston and Ohio State is going to beat Michigan, and yet somehow it would be Memphis on the ropes here in the bubble when we get our most recent updated odds to make the tournament. But instead, Memphis handled their business, and Michigan handled their business. And I think it's fair to say now, Donnie, I think maybe regardless of what either team does in their conference tournaments, that both clinched a spot inside the NCAA tournament.
Exactly. And rightfully so, because you're talking about two really talented teams that maybe didn't have the seasons that they wanted, but what a way to cap your season by blowing out Houston on your home court here, a very good basketball team. And then if you're Michigan, sort of like you were sliding off the road at one point saying, hey, you know, we might lose out heading into the conference tournament and we might need to pick up two wins here. I think they did enough with a nice victory. And just watching yesterday, I didn't watch the game all the way through, but I saw the halftime score 37-30. Like, ooh, yeah, this is going to be good because of content purposes, Kevin. I think we were both rooting against Michigan to see what would have to take place in the conference tournament and what the odds actually would be if they were to make the big dance. But it looks like they basically put themselves in regardless of what happens in the Big Ten tournament this coming week.
I think what's very interesting, though, now is how far along can these teams move again, just to use bracketology for a consistent reference point, Donnie. Both Michigan and Memphis have now found themselves on the last four buys line as opposed to the last four in. So avoiding, the play in there is a big boost for both of those basketball teams. The interesting thing when we talk about now what these teams could do actually inside the tournament, Michigan right now is at 150 to 1 to win a national championship, and Memphis is at 120 to 1. And I know very rarely would teams who will be so far down the board, Donnie, would you want to discuss in their odds to win a national championship. But these teams are kind of unique in what they were supposed to be to begin the season. You go back and you think preseason, this was a Memphis team, Donnie, that was, again, AP top 25 preseason, 12th in the country. Jalen Duren, Amani Bates, all these young recruits. And this Michigan Wolverines team, Donnie, was AP top 25, 6th in the country. I mean, you look at these two, does it feel like they could win multiple games when we start to evaluate the NCAA tournament?
Yes, doesn't it? It really does. And again, keep in mind, it's not a seven-game series, even a three-game series. You just have to play well one night and you can move on and take down higher-ranked teams. And I think it's very appropriate that you brought up where we anticipated these teams coming into the season and where they're ending up now. Because quite frankly, Memphis came in and said, hey, this might be one of the better teams in the country. Didn't play, you know, at that high level, but looks like now they're rounding back into form. Because I think a lot of the things that we take a look at here, Kevin, coming into March Madness, is not so much about where you started, you know, where you were in the middle of the season, but how you finished here. Because we still have to keep in mind, these teams are going to play a conference tournament. And as much as we're saying, like, okay, Memphis should have already punched their ticket, and same thing with Michigan, what happens if Memphis runs through the conference tournament and wins it and beats Houston again? Their seeding's going to improve immensely. And the same thing with the Michigan Wolverines on those final lines here of getting in. What happens if Michigan wins 2, 3, or 4 games here and takes down the Big Ten championship? You know, looking at them on the 11 line or the 10 line, they then get pushed up to that 5 or 4 seed as being the Big Ten conference tournament champions. I think the talent level is there for both of these teams. And sometimes, Kevin, to be honest with you, what are you looking forward to in March Madness when you're betting a team as a long shot? Either A, they've been around the block and, you know, this is fifth year, sixth year seniors at this point here with COVID, or you're going to look at one of those teams like, you know what, a little bit underperforming, but boy, when they get it together on the court, they are electric. And both of these teams sort of fit that profile there.
Really, the team that I came away, you know, most down on through all of this, Donnie, in terms of, you know, where they're going to be going here. Because Michigan and Memphis, you've got these big prices. You want to, you know, Final Four odds. Maybe we'll get odds, you know, over under wins for those teams, something along those lines there. It's Houston. And I know you were interested in this Houston group, and I understand through their, you know, where they lie through the, some of the efficiency numbers suggest that this basketball team is undervalued with where they lie in the market. Right now, Houston checks in at 40-1 to win a national championship. Donnie, you lose both games by double digits to Memphis. Ultimately, right now, against quad one opponents, they have a 1-4 record. And I know the loss to Alabama as well as the loss to Wisconsin was very, very tight. But I look at this Houston team, Donnie. They, listen, win a couple games, sure. They've been able to beat up on bad teams all year long. But when we talk about winning at all, I cannot put Houston in that list.
It's hard. I mean, there's not a lot of teams there because I think there's those differentiating factors, as we like to say, with the odds, where teams that can actually win it or teams that have value to win a national championship. Because if I'm starting my bracket, there's not going to be any bracket over the first 40 I pick out that actually would have Houston as being one of those 40-1 tickets there to win a national championship. But it's more of a money-making venture going, you know what, night in, night out, I know what I'm getting from Houston. And sure, they can run up against a good team or a team that's just a bad matchup, which maybe Memphis is. But those are the teams I'm looking to make money with down the stretch. Now, if we slide it all the way up, right, Gonzaga out here plus 370, Arizona 6-1, Kentucky plus 750. You could probably venture down and say somewhere around that Purdue line, Villanova line, because the same thing, like, I'm not looking for Texas Tech to win a championship, UCLA, Tennessee, even Illinois or Houston at that 40-1 marker. So, but you're looking at those saying, I can trade these off because if they do play well and I have a 25-1 ticket on Texas Tech and they make it to the Final Four, I'm going to make myself some pretty good money on those. Because obviously, Kevin, we're going to take flyers on Gonzaga, Arizona, Kentucky, Baylor in that top, and quite frankly, Duke as well, which sits at 12-1 saying, you know what, there's a legitimate chance I think they can win it. But, you know, being in the handicap business and the handicap game for so many years, I no longer look at that and say, okay, let me take a price on Gonzaga plus 370. I'm looking more in that 40, 50, 60, 70-1 range because I can say to myself, can I get 2 wins in the tournament? And then I can start making myself a little bit of money here.
Again, the bracket will decide a lot. I've been very consistent. Uh-huh, sure. I will not be betting Gonzaga at plus 370. I don't care what they can say. Hey, they start in the Final Four. I don't care. I will not bet them at plus 370. I just don't think that through the history of the Gonzaga program, I don't care how good this team's, I don't think they've earned that, whatever it provides value through then the rest of the
the odds board there. Their Final Four price is minus 115. You honestly are more likely to, I know this will probably sound crazy, you're more likely to get me to bet Gonzaga at minus 115 to make a Final Four than 370 to win a title. Like, that's where I sit on Gonzaga there, but I still don't, I wouldn't bet, I'm not laying juice on a team to make a Final Four. You don't even know the bracket. You don't even know how the matchups land there. We see teams get jobbed all the time, Donnie, with those brackets. You know, they're going to run out a Murray State, Alabama, Kentucky combination of an 8-4 and a 2. It's like, hold on a minute. What have I done here? So that's why teams like that always, I have to take a step back on there. But I still think one of the other things that's going to be interesting, and I hope we get it, because we'll do the WCC tournament next and a lot of NBA breakdown you get to as well. I hope we get over-under win totals for conferences. That's going to be really, really fun to me, because obviously you've got the, you know, wildly overrated Big Ten that's going to put 14 teams, eight, nine teams into the NCAA tournament. We'll see how many of them lose in opening weekend like they did last year. The WCC will be fascinating because you have Gonzaga, who's supposed to obviously rip off a bunch of wins. And you've got the Dons, and you've got St. Mary's, who will find themselves in the tournament as well. And then the SEC, Donnie. It'll be fascinating to see what their number would look like just because of how legit the top of that conference is.
No, you're right. And there's a lot of new betting markets here, and the FanDuel Sports are probably going to be at the front and foremost of these at putting some of these interesting combinations together. Because it used to just be, fill out your bracket, Kevin, pick a national champion, maybe bet a side in these games. But there's so many more things and so much more interesting ways to bet these. I can't wait to see what the FanDuel Sportsbook pops up for us here this week in conference tournament play, and also for March Madness, starting with Selection Sunday this Sunday.
That's also Don and I laying the ground floor there to make sure that those markets exist on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Odds boost.
We know
come
you guys are watching.
Come get us.
Yeah. Hey! Yeah. Boost us up. That's what the people are looking for. Let's break some games down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
WCC bats it off here for a little college basketball discussion. Gonzaga, San Francisco. You know that this means we're going to have some points in this game. Gonzaga, of course, a double-digit favorite here on a neutral court. The Dons beat BYU in their first game of the WCC tournament by 12 in a game where they were only a three-point favorite. So impressive stuff from them there. Obviously, if San Francisco wins this game, that puts them into a whole nother stratosphere of the tournament. But they should be secure regardless there. Total, I don't know if that can't be right, 147. I have to double-check that. Are they really hanging a 147?
I know, they can both be a good pace. I believe so.
Yeah, no. No, it totals 155 right now, so ignore that.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, it's higher. Yes.
Yeah. 155 and a half there. That means Donnie was inputting the numbers there. He was trying to get some value. Spread, though, is a 13 spot here, Donnie. What do you make of Gonzaga and San Francisco?
I think Gonzaga is a pretty good matchup for San Francisco, and they've dusted them off twice already. It just comes down to some certain elements where it's like, what are our three-point shots go like? What are our two-point shots go like? I understand that, but the one matchup that makes sense in this game is Gonzaga. Two-point distribution, Kevin. 55% of their points in conference play come from inside the arc. Number three overall, you know what they're going up against here? 56.2%. Number three overall, giving up the shots inside the three-point arc. And this is almost, and you know, we're getting into this game. It's going to be on a neutral court, obviously, down in Las Vegas. But having looked at it, you know, do you get a little bit of a bump from San Francisco playing a game already down there? Some be it, but I do think Gonzaga is the better basketball team. They should win this game and cover by margin. But I just want to start to bring up this topic, Kevin, as we head during the backstretch here of some of these smaller conference tournaments when the Power Fives come into fruition this week. Is the betting styles here and the evolution of what I like to look at here. Because primarily during most of the college basketball season, I'm just waiting for stats to pile up. Then it turns into team total season. But you start to get a little bit hairy here outside of who's not playing at home anymore and starting to play on these neutral courts, which then turns into, Kevin, when we head into March Madness, it's very rare I will actually take a favorite or even a team total and start to load up on these dogs. And I coined the phrase, take the points and pray in March Madness. And it's usually the evolution of what you like to do in the regular season culminates in March Madness, going, these are really good basketball teams and just take the points. I'm almost starting that today, but at the same time, I do think Gonzaga is going to be able to win this game and win it by double digits. Beat US San Francisco is a very good basketball team twice. Just a bad matchup for San Francisco in this game. I think Gonzaga prevails.
I'm going to look towards a first half total. It's 73. It worked out the last time these teams played. I mean, it was an absolute rock star open to the game, 52-42. Gonzaga led. A total like a 155.5 can be tough to obviously maintain for a full game, especially if Gonzaga has to start to put the screws to the Dons because of what the Gonzaga Bulldogs can do on the defensive side of the basketball. But 73 is a number I'm still comfortable with because both teams have the ability to get into the 40s there. And if Gonzaga is red hot, if Gonzaga is a little bit slow, there's a lot of pathways to victory there on a first half total. The other game, Don, in the opening round of WCC play, we're taking a look, of course. It's going to be St. Mary's and Santa Clara. Now, St. Mary's is a 5-point favorite here, obviously hoping to see if they can advance and maybe win a WCC tournament. Obviously, the impressive win versus Gonzaga was the last time we saw them. Total for this one, 138. What do you think about this matchup?
I like to take the over in this. And some of the times that you look at this, it's not so much about, you know, how fast St. Mary plays because they don't play very fast at all. But Santa Clara has a very good tempo offense. And what you can do is get St. Mary's a little bit more into tempo, which means like extra baskets, extra shots here where Santa Clara comes down, shoots a quick shot. St. Mary's usually will walk the ball, basketball up the court. It's almost one of those games where you almost hope that St. Mary's does have the lead because Santa Clara is going to go faster and faster, which forces St. Mary's to play a little bit more tempo. But the same thing we just talked about in the last game, Kevin. Not so much about the three-point shots itself, but how these teams can score inside because you do need matchups and need matchups to make sense. Santa Clara, how about this, Kevin? Mm-hmm. Number two overall in conference play, point distribution inside the arc, which is great. Why? You know who's the worst at giving up points inside the arc? It's actually St. Mary's. Close to 60% of the points on defense, they give up, Kevin, inside the arc. And then if we flip it over to St. Mary's on offense, point distribution from two-point range again, keep in mind there's 10 teams in here. Fourth at scoring inside the arc, Santa Clara, fifth at giving up points. I think the tempo is going to be there. And even though it is St. Mary's, and it's hard for people to fathom taking overs with them, I think this game goes over the total tonight.
And I think if you take a look, obviously, at the two games between the teams, they had one that landed at exactly 138 and another then that was good enough to get over that number with 149 points put up on the board. And also, don't just write off Santa Clara. This group already has a win over St. Mary's here. It would not surprise me if they are right into this game until the last of it there. Obviously, a 5-point spread. Transitioning over towards the NBA board, really, really fun slate here. Let's start in Philadelphia, though, Donnie. Sixers, Bulls. Now, this seven shows to me, well, obviously, look, when the Chicago Bulls get to the postseason, Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso are expected to return. And I know Vucevic is checking in with the questionable tag working into this basketball game. But I think it shows right now that if the Sixers have Harden at home, they're favored versus every single team in the NBA. That's my reaction when I look at this 7-point line, Donnie.
It's absolutely the same reaction I have. And also, how many times do you talk about, Kevin, your first inclination on a number? You see that seven pop up, and it's not like, ooh, I can't wait to take the Philadelphia 76ers. It's, how can I weasel my way into taking the Chicago Bulls? Now, knowing the Sixers didn't play well on Saturday, it should be a bounce-back game. James Harden, who didn't play Saturday, now going to play in front of the home fans. And we've seen him play well. And even though they have deficits at home, somehow pulling it out in the fourth quarter and covering double-digit lines, which essentially is what you're going to have. Now, if I can get, you know, LaVine in the game, DeRozan in the game, but also you said that questionable tag on Vucevic. If he plays, I do think the Chicago Bulls are going to be a tough out in this one. But I think the Sixers are going to win the game. Sure, I do, because with James Harden, that offense looks absolutely unstoppable, and the Sixers do play well at home. And as I said, looking to come back on a bounce-back performance on that back-to-back where they basically didn't even show up in Miami. They're going to play tonight. The Sixers' energy will be high. But if I'm looking at this game overall, if I can get a Vucevic start, probably going to take the Bulls with the points tonight, Kev.
Yeah, I think even an attempt at maybe grabbing the Bulls early certainly could make sense. We've saw the Sixers come out slow in their last three basketball games, two of those including James Harden. So it wouldn't surprise me if Chicago did jump on them a little bit. The Bulls, though, have now gone out here, lost four games in a row. They've been very, very bad against the spread as a road dog. The question that I'm trying to figure out as well when you look at a total here I mean, is every single Harden game going to go over? 230 and a half. Are we going to rock? I mean, it's got to be defense at some point here. Because here, and here's why I say this, Donnie, is you know that people are hyper aware that the Sixers have played all overs with James Harden. You know people prefer to bet their overs as well. 230 and a half, but how nice is it the NBA is back to where it should be, man? These 211 and a half between great teams, disgraceful. 230 and a half, that's an achievable number if both teams bring it. I wonder if at some point the rug is pulled out underneath from those under bettors. Let me ask you quickly. We've only got a couple of props listed right now, Embiid, Harden, Maxey. Tyrese Maxey handed me my worst loss, I think, of the NBA season. 17 points in three quarters, 18 and a half points. No, it takes one shot in the fourth quarter. No Harden. Yeah. I couldn't believe the scene there. But Embiid's 30 and a half, Harden 24 and a half from a points perspective. Harden right now, 10 and a half dimes, Donnie. Are you looking to back any of the Sixers stars?
Yeah, I mean, you would look for Joel Embiid probably to have a bounce-back game. He's going to have, you know, the facilitator back in James Harden, getting him a lot more easy buckets. You saw him have to work a lot harder than usual. Now, having said that, he was going up against Bam Adebayo as opposed to going up against Vucevic, who might not play tonight. If Vucevic sits, Joel Embiid is going to have a pretty good night down low. But also, when you take a look at points, rebounds, and assists, James Harden rested at home. You sort of can't turn your head because this is another chance, Kevin. I know you cashed in, you know, a few games ago on James Harden triple-double. He's always going to be on triple-double watch now with the Philadelphia 76ers. Seems like he's crashing glass, easy to get his 10 assists, and you're just looking at 10 points, which he should get with a layup tonight. So that's something I would be interested in. But I always like those performances because Joel Embiid, more than anybody, you know he's on social media. You know he wants to win the MVP. He knows that Nikola Jokic had a monster game last night. What a better way to put that performance back, which says, you know what? A lot of people were doubting me. I didn't play well Saturday night. 35, 13, 9, and a Sixers win. I like Joel Embiid tonight.
That's a really good point. Embiid is as online as any player in the NBA. He really is. I mean, you talk, you know, those player performance doubles, 30-plus in a Sixers win. All of that makes a lot of sense there. Embiid does care. And by the way, he should care because it's a big deal to win the MVP award. So if you can do it and it's helping your team, you should go out there and try and put forward massive performances, no doubt about it. And I think the Sixers team will be very hungry, of course, with Harden returning to the floor. The number I really want to see if it's posted is going to be a DeMar DeRozan points prop there. I went back to – so DeMar had 18 versus Miami, right? Miami, you know, knows how to put these stars in check. And I went back to him versus Atlanta on a 28.5 number, and he only finished with 22. And it was surprising because he had 8 assists in the game. He just wasn't shooting as much. Then he went out there against Milwaukee, scored 29 on 30 shots. If DeMar DeRozan keeps up the workload, you're going to want to get a piece of DeMar DeRozan overs. The last time he saw Philly was on the 6th of February, and he scored 45 points. Obviously, he was a part of that unreal stretch. But I think DeMar DeRozan, again, if the number is right, is going to be worth the attention there. We'll have to see where it all lands. Of course, Vucevic, that changes the map there. It could be factored in to the spread as well. This NBA board is full of a lot of fun games. Can the Lakers stay hot? They're catching 2 points. Stay hot. Can the Lakers build a winning streak? Let me try and be a little bit more reasonable about what I'm saying here, Donnie. Catching two in San Antonio. Golden State. Steve Kerr is furious with the makeup game, so he said, I'm not sending any good players. Steph, Wiggins, Clay, all out. Golden State's catching 8.5 versus Denver, who's on the second leg of a back-to-back. We've got Luka and the Jazz doing battle. A lot of good stuff. We break that all down right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Spurs Lakers is where we begin this segment. San Antonio lays two to the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron points prop checks in at 30.5. I know this will be a number that a lot of people are looking to line up here, Donnie, and it's understandable because he's coming off a 56 spot. Can the Lakers build a winning streak? What do you think of this matchup tonight?
They should be able to build a winning streak here going against the lowly San Antonio Spurs. But I think what's more appropriate here is that total there listed at 232 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, which means you're going to get a high usage rate at a couple guys. One of the guys that's one of our favorites here, San Antonio Spurs. Even though we're a bad basketball team, DeJounte Murray's been very good this year. I've taken Doug McDermott on a couple three-point props this season. But more importantly, it's what you're going to get or not get at, I should say, from LeBron James in this game. Now, as we said, he got the nice rest after the game. Ooh, can sleep good. Wonder how good that sleep was, knowing that you had 56 points in the last game. And a lot of NBA players, because it's just human reality here, that once they have a 56-point night, they're going to press it down again. So who in their right mind would actually look at this game going, okay, the Lakers finally got right with a nice win over the Golden State Warriors. I'm going to fade them in San Antonio. It would be so apropos there for the Lakers to go out on the road and get blasted by the Spurs, and LeBron James would finish with 21-6-4 in this game. I just don't see that happening here tonight. If I'm looking towards a side, it's probably going to be the Lakers here, but more importantly, trying to work my way into LeBron James points, rebounds, and assist props, because if they're going to win tonight, Kevin, he's going to have 35-plus points in order for that to happen. And if we're looking at a total, as I said, around that 232 range, we should get points tonight, and LeBron James should be the leader in the clubhouse for points in this game.
Yeah, definitely. I do think his rebound number continues to be enticing at 9.5. He had the double-double last game. He's had the double-double in three of five since the All-Star break there. So I think that does definitely line up here. What's actually really interesting, though, is the assists have not been coming as much for LeBron, maybe because everybody is letting him down. The number 6.5, it's minus 142 to the under. He has not hit that post break, which is something interesting to follow. But I think, Donnie, as you mentioned, this total, it does feel like a really strong over game. The Lakers are 11-6 to the over as a road dog this season. San Antonio is one of the best over teams at home in the entire NBA, and that's escalated even more when they're a home favorite, hitting at over 70% when they are favored in San Antonio. So despite that being a very high total, I think you can anticipate a ton of points in that basketball game there. Continuing to move down this slate, Utah and Dallas is an interesting one. Dallas right now is a slight minus 118 favorite on the money line there. The total is 217. The Utah Jazz are playing on a second leg of a back-to-back, and right now there are no prompts listed. Doncic has did miss, the most recent game that was played for the Dallas Mavericks. But I would say this line suggests, Donnie, that Doncic will be back. Any thoughts on this short line?
Yeah, it's always hard to take a team off back-to-back performances. Sort of an easy victory for the Utah Jazz. Had a three-point prop there yesterday on Donovan Mitchell to go over 3.5, made 4 in that game, which was great because it looked a little hairy in the first half. Because why? Maybe it was going to be a 30-point blowout for the Utah Jazz, but that wasn't the case. Are we now into Luka Doncic's time? What I mean by that is you see the Dallas Mavericks here probably going to finish up being here a slight favorite by the time this game tips off as well. What are we getting out of him tonight? Like, if he does play, you're going against a very good Jazz team. It's not an extremely high total. It's going to probably stay under 220 when it's all said and done. But is this one of those games where we need a performance like we just talked about, LeBron James, 40-plus points for them to stay in it? Because in what world do we look at these two teams lining up? And again, you do have a little bit of a, you know, one hand tied behind your back scenario in Utah because it is a second leg of a back-to-back. But if Luka Doncic doesn't play well tonight, is there any chance that the Dallas Mavericks even come close to sniffing a victory in this game? It just feels like he has to be like LeBron James, 41 points, 13 assists, 9 rebounds. And then it's not even a guarantee that they're actually going to win this basketball game. So if I'm looking at it again from a side perspective, and I do think the Dallas Mavericks are going to win this game, they're not winning this game unless Doncic has a monster performance. So I would look towards Luka Doncic's props as opposed to taking the Dallas Mavericks maybe on the money line or just laying a short number.
Well, it's a good thing he's at home then, Donnie, because apparently if Luka is at home, he's just going to keep continually rock up the 40 numbers. He has a bigger than 4 point per game gap right now in his home road splits. I don't know, like, four, it might not sound like a lot, Donnie. That's a ton. That is a huge, huge gap. At home recently, 41, 45, 51, 33. Had an 18 spot against Atlanta, 33, 40. I mean, this has been consistent for Luka at home this year. We'll see where that number checks in. Also, the Rudy Gobert points plus rebounds prop hit once again versus Oklahoma City. I know he missed it versus New Orleans in large part due to the blowout. As this game is as close as the number suggests, then you're going to see Rudy Gobert continue to crash the glass, but also provide you enough in his own scoring perspective to get involved. Let me ask you quickly, DRS, about this Nuggets-Warriors game. Really, really difficult because we know that you're not going to get anything from the Golden State Warriors' best players. No Steph, no Klay, no Wiggins. Draymond Green remains out. It's an interesting move. They've also ruled Gary Payton Jr. out, and I know Iguodala will be missing this game as well. I know Denver, it's very tough now because Denver's on the second leg of a back-to-back and played an absolute battle in overtime versus New Orleans, but they're playing these Golden State lineups, Donnie, that I feel like you would compare typically to the Brooklyn lineups of who out there is doing what.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the only way you can approach it here. Now, the old adage goes, Kevin, well, there's two NBA players. They each get paychecks. You always hear coaches say, like, oh, they're still good on the opposite. They're not good on the opposite side tonight. So if you're looking from a Warriors perspective on a really good basketball team like they typically are when they're healthy, this is not a good basketball team. Look at the anticipated starting lineup tonight for the Golden State Warriors. Poole, Lee, Moody, Porter Jr., and Looney. So they're going to get the bulk of the work and then leave way to a questionable, at best, bench here. It's one of those where I would be looking towards the Denver Nuggets, but at the same time, if it's a back-to-back and you're worried about that, right, and you take a look at the Nuggets and you say, okay, well, what am I actually going to get from them? Isn't it more likely that the legs give out in the second half and not the first half? So if we're going to take a look at a line at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, at what, -9.5 as we're going with right now, first half probably 6. I would probably say the Denver Nuggets would be up by double digits at the break or even after the end of the first quarter here. That's not a great lineup for the Warriors. They're going to struggle to score. Maybe you don't want to play it into the second half and say, hey, the Nuggets, you know, a little bit weary and they're up 15 with 5 minutes to go and they pull their starters out. I don't want anything to do with that. First half is where I'm looking at this game for the Denver Nuggets to cover.
Yeah, we'll see. Look, we'll see, okay? The one thing I will say, though, the last time Golden State did this, Donnie, was at San Antonio. They were a 6.5-point dog. No Klay, no Steph, no Wiggins. They won the game 124-120 because they won the fourth quarter 35-16. A meltdown by the San Antonio Spurs, but San Antonio at one point was up by as much as 17 in that game. Obviously, though, that was tremendously high scoring here. Golden State. The interesting thing to me as well, Donnie, is how is it that there's going to be any intensity in this game from Golden State on the defensive side of the basketball when Steve Kerr has basically told everybody, this is out here an open gym. I can't believe that they're making us schedule this game. I shouldn't have even showed it myself, and I should have let Mike Brown coach the basketball game there. So perhaps this one can be high scoring at a 222.5 number. Again, I know the altitude and things like that, but no monstrous trends jump out from a Denver back-to-back perspective, so it can very well be open season. What about Miami and Houston, Donnie? Huge number. The Heat are laying to the Rockets here, and Houston was just playing yesterday against Memphis, and they pulled a huge upset. Double-digit dog at home. Houston snapped a 12-point losing streak. Man, Miami is laying a ton of points here to the Rockets. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, Miami should win easily in this, but you're right. 14.5 points is not something I usually want to get involved with. So if we're taking a look at this game overall, same approach here. If the Miami Heat are about their business and you think the Miami Heat are going to cover this line, they're probably going to be covering at the half here. Maybe one of those, you know, 51-34 type first halves where Miami can just strangle a young team on offense and just play that really good defense we know they're accountable for. Somewhat healthy team for the Miami Heat, but if I'm looking just from a pedigree situation, I'm not laying close to 15 points in a game. If they're going to cover this, they'll be close to covering at the half. That's the only way I would approach this game, Kevin.
I'm ready to roll with the total, though, over the number. I know I've talked a lot about overs, but this one specifically at 225.5 here. The Houston Rockets, Donnie, this season, 10 games without rest, 9 overs. Mm-hmm. 90% hit rate sounds pretty good to me at a 225.5. Also, props-wise, keep your eyes on Jalen Green. His number's not listed yet, but yesterday it was a 15.5. He has been cruising into the 20s in his recent performances there. First-year player, post-All-Star break, hitting his stride. And we're seeing that across the league, by the way. Evan Mobley had a great game, for the Cavs just the other night. Scotty Barnes started at the point guard position in that game versus Cleveland and had himself a really good one. He's starting to pull down double-doubles routinely and is doing so at almost at better than 3-1 in basically all of those games. And Cade Cunningham has been playing really good basketball as well. And I have to say, Donnie, listen, sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong. I said that the Detroit Pistons would be a good team to bet post All-Star break. Covered every single game post break. The crazy thing, though, is they keep winning as dogs. That's the part that's been very, very surprising here for the Detroit Pistons. And they still get no respect here on this line versus Atlanta, catching 7 points in their own building. Again, Detroit all overall now, if you even date back to before the All-Star break, this team has covered 7 games in a row, and they've won 5 of those games. And they've been an underdog in every single one of them, Donnie.
Yeah, the new big three in the NBA here, Cade Cunningham, Sadiq Bey, and Jeremy Grant handling their business, right? This is the team. Like, forget about the Nets and the big three is going to get together. This is the new big three, at least covering right now. But you should have a wide-open pace in here, close to a 230 price. We've seen Trae Young go off over the past couple weeks here. Kevin Huerter, DeAndre Hunter, Collins Capella, decent team here. But I'm with you right now. If you're going to look at a team that's seemingly playing without the pressure of a regular season, saying, hey, we need to get into the playoffs or a must-win, it seems like they're flourishing right now. And why stop a good thing here? I'll take the points in this game as we take a look there at the FanDuel Sportsbook getting 7.5 points at home. Why not? Detroit Pistons for me tonight.
Yeah, listen, keep your eyes as well. I don't think Kevin Huerter is going to play in this game. So you got to imagine Atlanta will flip to a dog when people find that out. As he, you know, the story last year of everyone's Eastern Conference Finals. Yes. We know how important Kevin Huerter is to that basketball team. I will let people know here. The Portland Trail Blazers are in action. Listen, I don't know what you want me to do with this team. Portland comes out of this break, Donnie. Right? I mean, they give you – I'm trying to figure this out here. So Golden State beats them by almost 40. Denver beats them by more than 30. Phoenix beats them by 30. They go to Minnesota, catch 14, lose by 14. Now, Anthony Simons is not going to play in the game. And the number is 14.5. I mean, usually I'd rather take points here. I'm pretty sure Minnesota's going to win this game by 30.
I mean, either way, like Jeannie Buss sending Bitcoin up to Portland, or maybe Adam Silver sending Bitcoin up to Portland to make sure the Lakers get into the playoffs. That's my only thought. Look at the anticipated starting lineup tonight. Brandon Williams, Keon Johnson, CJ Ellaby, Josh Hart, and Drew Eubanks. They're going to get smashed in this game. And something once makes me want to say, you know what? Josh Hart all in, points, rebounds, and assists tonight, baby. Because I don't know who else you got on that team.
You know what? No, here's the rule. Listen, because they don't have props listed yet. We're finding a prop on this awful Portland Trail Blazers team. I don't know. Yeah. No, remember when Trendo offered? Hey, 12-14, get after it, big Trendo. All right, man. Listen up, Don, and close it out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a segment of the day right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM channel 159, and we are rocking and rolling 7 to 9 a.m. Both myself and Kevin Walsh carrying you through before we hand it over to the morning after. Now it's Monday. I know everybody's excited here. March Madness is just around the corner. Conference tournaments are starting, but I still got to bring the heat with Major League Baseball in a good way. So listen up. All right, I get it. Everybody's basketballed up this week. The NBA, you know, careening towards the playoffs, conference tournaments, the big boys come to play this week. Selection Sunday, this Sunday. But let's take a look at Major League Baseball. It's not really making any headway right now. But boy, I am getting good vibes. And look, I'm 44 years old. Oh, I'm not part of that 50 to 60 to 70-year-old crowd that watches Major League Baseball. I'm also not a millennial watching, you know, saying, I just don't pay attention to baseball anymore. If you're not paying attention to what's going on right now, yeah, we're upset that baseball's not going to play. But I got to tell you, I'll miss 20 games. I'll miss 30 games. I'll miss 40 games. I'll miss 50 games if we take a look at what Major League Baseball is trying to get done in this collective bargaining agreement. Do I want the players to get played? Yes. Or paid? Yes. Do I want the owners to make money? Sure. But I want to watch Major League Baseball games, but watch it in a style that I haven't seen before. The bigger bases that they're talking about. Hey, what do you need bigger bases for? Less collisions at first base. But how about this? Implementing the pitch clock so the game moves quicker here. Fantastic stuff here. They already waived the DH. Take a look at this here. Pitch clock, no shift. Are you kidding me? I would love to see the shift taken out of Major League Baseball. Oh, it's going to ruin the sport. You got to be kidding me, man. Baseball is not a dying sport, but it needs to ramp up into the 21st century and actually get pace of play, which is going to help us watch better baseball, score more runs, and have more fun, and draw a younger generation in. And this all does it here. The DH is sensational in both leagues. If you do have a pitch count, the game's going to go quicker. The ghost runner in extra innings to allow games to finish as of at 10:30 at night on the East Coast, as opposed to 12:30 at night, and ruin your entire bullpen. Major League Baseball and the Players Union need to get together, because one more thing they must do is give us a robo-umpiring system. We need that in our life. But you know what else you need in your life? Ben Stevens in the morning after for the next hour. I'll be on there. Must watch.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.